of Torah. Three unbelievable pieces of Torah from the Holy Mor v'Shemesh. There's a kid in my shul who's named, there's a kid in my shul who's named after the Mor v'Shemesh. Little Kalmish Epstein. So when I see him, I always think like, hi Rebbe, how are you? He's named. He's a descendant. Okay, Ela told us, Noach ish tzadik tamim haya b'dor Yosef. Ask them, or v'shemesh yesh ledaktik, we need to explore the kan ksiv tzadik tamim. When we first meet Noach in the opening pasuk of our parsha, he's called a tzadik, who is tamim. He's a righteous person, who is perfect, wholesome. Ulahalan, and yet, in Parak Zion, a little bit later on, when we're introduced to Noach again, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Noach, Ksiv ki oscha ra'isi tzadik lefanai. Hashem says to Noach, you should go to the Teva, because I have seen you to be a tzadik before me, b'dor hazeh, in this generation. So the question is, why lo nechtav tamim? Is he a tzadik tamim, or is he just a tzadik? And what's the difference between being a tzadik tamim? Right, again, the opening pasuk calls him a tzaddik tamim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Noach, he just calls him a tzaddik. So how does Rashi address this problem in Parak Zion when it just says tzaddik?
Not everybody knows.
No, that's Dorosav. How does Rashi in the second pasuk, when it just calls him, when Hashem says, I see you as a tzaddik lefanai b'dor hazeh. So Rashi says, it doesn't say tzaddik tamim. Mikan sha'omrim miksas shivcho shal adam befanav v'kulo shalo befanav. Right? You don't have that on the page in front of you. I'm just reading Rashi. Rashi and Chumash says, from here we see that you only say a portion of a person's praise in their presence. And you say all of their praise not in their presence. So when, so to speak, the narrator of the Torah, which of course is Hashem, is first introducing us to Noach, Eila told us, Noach ish tzadik tam. But when Hashem talks directly to Noach, Vayomer Hashem l'Noach, Hashem only says part of Noach's praise to his face. He calls him a tzaddik and not a tzaddik tamim. In other words, Rashi is saying, Noach is a tzaddik tamim. But when you talk to a person, you don't say to their face everything about them. Maybe because you don't want them to be baal gaiva, maybe because you don't want to embarrass them by showering them with too much praise. Okay, whatever it may be. Fine. We need to understand, V'derech Hasidus, says the Mor v'Shemesh, what's the Torah hinting to? What's it revealing to us here? B'nei Perish al Rashi al Zeh Yadua. Rashi's comment on this is well known, as we just read. But I still want to understand a little more. Amnam od yesh l'alokai milin l'farish. I want to understand a bit more. Ki bediktuk nechtav kan tamim u'lahadlan lo hutrachin. Why over here did it precisely call him a tamim? And why over there, when Hashem commands Noach to build the Teva, does it not call him a tamim? Okay, simple question. He's a tzaddik, he's a tamim, but why when it comes to building the teva is he just called tzaddik and not tamim? So the Mor v'Shemesh says, friends, there are different types of tzaddikim. Now you'll say, okay, so now I'm done listening to this piece because when you do a piece that's for all Jews, we'll talk about it, I'll pay attention, but we're talking about madregas of tzaddikim, it's not relevant to me. So I remind you again, v'amich kulam tzaddikim. What we're about to learn about tzaddikim is true for every one of us. There's different ways to how you express your frumkeit, your religiosity, your spirituality. Ki eshnei minei tzaddikim haynu. Madrega achas shel tzaddik, one type of tzaddik, shaholech tamid bitmimus bitorah utfila umaisim tovim. There's a tzaddik who is always learning and davening and doing good things. However, einu yodeya lahamik b'chochma. He doesn't really know how to get deep into the wisdom of Torah. Look what he defines that as being. Dahainu chochmas elukuso yizbarach shamo. He doesn't really understand the wisdom of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? Rakolech b'pashtus b'limudo v'tfilaso. But with simplicity, he learns and he davens. Now, we still don't know what he's missing. You're about to find out what he's missing. You're going to say, that's such an interesting way to describe a person who's learning and davening he's really calling it superficial. There's a certain superficiality to his learning and davening because he's missing the following element. What is it? He doesn't know how to understand. He understands very deep. He learns and davens all day. He does a lot of mitzvos and meisim tovim. But that tzaddik eino yachol leschaber es atzmo im bnei adam klal uklal. But this type of tzaddik doesn't know how to interact with people. He feels that everyone gets in the way of his relationship with Hashem. Everyone bothers him. The guy who's davening next to him in shul is distracting him. The person who's learning opposite him in the Beis Medrash is learning too loudly, or learning a different sefer, and it bothers him. He doesn't know how to be with people. He feels that everyone is causing him to be distracted from his avodas Hashem. And he's playing for himself. He's his own team. He doesn't know how to bring people close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because of his small intellect. Why is he calling this a person? It's interesting. He's saying he doesn't know the depths of Chachmas Elokus because he can't interact with people. Right. He has a very narrow understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he doesn't understand how to bring Hashem everywhere. Everything, he just wants to sit by himself in a little cubicle with his svarim, with his tehillim, and he'll daven and learn all day long, but he doesn't, everything gets in his way, everything bothers him. So that's a person who's very small, because if he understood that the whole world is filled with the presence of Hashem, and our job is to be megalit, to reveal HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every place, through every person, so this guy doesn't get it. This guy, he's a big tzaddik. Right? But there's a certain tmimus that he has, a certain simplicity or wholesomeness that he demands, which is actually very limiting. He's interested in himself. He's interested in his own spiritual success. This is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai in the cave. And he came out of the cave that first time, the Gemara tells us in Shabbos Daf Lamed Gimel. And he hated the world. And Hashem was very mad at Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and said, go back to the cave and change your whole worldview. And he went back for one more year and he came out and he became the Rebbe of every Jew. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is the most open to every type of Jew. But at first he was the most closed. Everything bothered him. Everything distracted him. He saw everything in a way that was upsetting and frustrating. So there's a tzaddik who walks alone. He's a tzaddik tamim. He does his own thing. Can't be makari of others, he can't have a hashpa on others, and because of that, his understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of what Torah is supposed to do, which is to transform every nook and cranny of the world, is very limited. That's one type of tzaddik. V'yesh madrega tzaddik sheholich b'chachma u'dveikus. But there's another type of tzaddik who's able to go with great wisdom and great attachment. L'kayin b'chol derachecha de'ehu k'maymer chazal. He's the type of person who's able to be alone with Hashem, but also be everywhere with Hashem. Why did I say be alone with Hashem and be everywhere with Hashem? Because these types of tzaddikim can be incredibly present and incredibly disconnected at the same time. So you could be someone, again, like Ravitcher Meyer Morgenstern, Shlita, who's able to have a Beis Medrash that has all sorts of interesting characters in it. And as someone said to me once, and the more you observe it and pay attention to it, there's nothing that stares him. Nothing gets in the way of anything he needs to do. No matter how many people are around and doing, making noise and doing this or doing like that, he's just, there's a yishuv adas that he's with everyone and he's with Hashem at the same time. Every step he takes, he's with Hashem. Nothing gets in the way. Nothing. This environment's not right. It doesn't work with this chevra at this time, in this place. Oh, I wanted to do this, or I meant to do like that, and then it didn't work out, and I wanted to get somewhere, I got stuck in traffic, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be, I'm with the people I'm supposed to be with, I'm with the environment I'm supposed to be with. So he could be in a big crowd, and he could still be alone with Hashem. That's why it's interesting. What are the Rashi Tevos of Bechol Derechecha De'eho? Badad, what does badad mean? Alone. Badad yeshev, like it says by the Mitzvah. He's bodedus. But this is not his motive. This is not his opposite of sitting alone and talking to Hashem by yourself. This is a guy who's like Avram Avinu, who's out in the whole world. But that's exactly the var. You could be out in the world and you could be entirely with Hashem. You don't have to be bothered by the world. You don't have to feel that the world is an impediment to your avodas Hashem. Right? And that's why the Gemara says in Brachos that these three words, Bechol Derachecha De'ehu, the Gemara in Brachos says this is a parsha katana that Kol Gufei Torah Tluyin Va. It's Gemara in Brachos, Samach Gimel. This is a tiny parsha, just a couple of words, so to speak, a concept that seems small, but it's the biggest. Bechol Derachecha De'ehu, know HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all of your ways, in everything that you do. In every single thing that you do. And there's more to say about it. There's more to say about it. B'chol derechecha de'ehu, the Sfarim say, is Gematria Yehoshua. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu, as much as Moshe Rabbeinu was a man of the people, Moshe Rabbeinu also wore a mask, and there was a certain detachment. People couldn't relate to him in a certain way. People mourned Aaron HaKohen when he died much more than Moshe Rabbeinu, because Aaron was more the man of the people. Moshe was a man of God. Yehoshua is the one who leads us into Eretz Yisrael. Settling the land. B'chol derechecha de'ehu. You know, the Gashmi. So B'chol derechecha de'ehu is Gematria, if I'm not mistaken, 391. Gematria Yehoshua. Yehoshua is a person who took Klal Yisrael into the, you know, the physical land. Moshe Rabbeinu, we're living in the clouds. Mamash. We're eating the man. Yehoshua is the one who took us to Eretz Yisrael and drained the swamps and built the cities and brought us into serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu within physicality in a certain sense. That's why Yehoshua is Gematria B'chol derechecha de'ehu. So this tzaddik knows how to what? Zeh tzaddik yuchol leschaber as atzmo im kama b'nei adam. He knows how to be with people. Machmas shehilucho bekedusha uvechachma bedveikus gadol, because he's so truly attached to Hashem that he doesn't see anything other than Hashem. So when there's, you know, some guy riding by on a motorcycle with a speaker on the back in Washington Heights, and this guy was trying to, he just walked out of his Gemara shir, and he's trying to still think about the Machlokas Rashi Tosos, or how the Ran explains why Rashi said a shliach leholacha, not a shliach lekabbalah. And all of a sudden some guy drives by and he's blasting some rap music off the back of his bike. He's not stirred by it. Whatever. For some reason, this is what Hashem wants. He's able to be with Hashem and to also to be in the world. And he likes to connect to people, and no one causes his mind to be mubulbal. Because he's really connected to Hashem. He's connected all the way through. And nothing can break that connection. Yeah.
There's a story of Rashi that once he came out from his house and he saw a riding a horse.
Yeah, we mentioned this story, no?
You said that?
Yeah.
And it's about that. So the same thing here, it's like why Hashem puts it, what Hashem wants to teach.
Right.
So everything, right. There's
a reason you said, Baal Shem Tov's right. Right. Baal Shem Tov in Baal Shem Tov al-Torah by Megillas Esther. Baal Shem Tov has a lashon there. But again, you can bring many sources for it. That everything we see and everything we hear, everyone we bump into, there's a reason. Hashem is making an encounter. It's not mikra, it's not happenstance, it's not random. There's a reason, the people, the places, the things we hear, it's all part of how we meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if I'm a deep person, I see through all of that. I see Hashem in all of it. Exactly. So Rashi, when he saw Rashi, what? How could it be? I saw such a thing. Oh, it must be that this apron that this woman riding on her horse is wearing is similar to what? It's similar to what the Kohen Gadol wore. And that's why Rashi in Parshas Kisisa says what? Libi Omerli. My heart tells me. It's the one time he says it. My heart tells me that this is what it looked like. Rashi, what's your source? So they tell that story. Right? My heart tells me that if I was being so careful with Shmir Sinayim, why did Hashem put this woman in front of me? It must be Hashem said, I'm going to teach you something about, I'm going to reveal to you something about Torah. Rashi could have just been frustrated the rest of the day, but he saw it and he learned from it. Turned it into Torah. V'zeh tzaddik eino nikra tamim. So listen carefully. This type of tzaddik is not the tzaddik tamim. The tzaddik tamim is so delicate that anything can shter him, can mess him up, can cause him to have bilbulim. This tzaddik is not tamim. Ki holech bischakmus neged yetzer hara lekari v'chokim. Because to be a person of the world, you have to be a little bit creative. You have to find creative ways to makari people. You have to find creative ways to outsmart the yetzer hara, because he's going to come in many forms if you're a person of the world. If you're going to encounter the world and not lock yourself up in the cave. V'zeh matzino etzel Yaakov avinu shenikra ish tam. Now listen carefully. I'm going to read you the words and I'm going to tell you what I think our Rebbe is saying. This is what we find about Yaakov, who on the one hand is called an ish tam, who perish Rashi she'eni yodeya l'ramos. On the one hand, Yaakov avinu stays in his tent. He's an ish tam. What's the next two words in the pasuk? Yoshev ha'olim. He's a man who stays indoors. He's not a trickster. Eino yodeo l'ramos. He doesn't know how to engage in trickery. And yet, at the same time, about Esav kara alav, Esav said about Yaakov, he outsmarted me. V'yakveni zeh palmayim. He tricked me twice. And Unkelis translates v'yakveni as v'chakmeni. Right? He outwitted me. He was wiser than me. Ki im mi shahayat sarech leilech b'ramos haynu b'chachma halach b'chachma. Because even Yaakov, who's called an ish tam, knows how to act with chachma when it's called for. Kamaymer akasov, like the pasuk says in Tehillim, im navar tis barar v'im ikesh tis patal. With a crooked person, act crooked. When you're dealing with an Esav, try to outsmart him. When you're dealing with the Lavan, play hardball. Yaakov is an ish tam, but he knows how to trick and he knows when not to trick. Vizehu derech, underline these next words. Vizehu derech yoser gavoa mimadregas tmimus below seichel kemuvan liodim. And this is the higher level, Chaim. It's not a higher level to say that I'm so spiritually sensitive that I can't be sovel Hashem's world. I can't bear the world. The world gets me frustrated. That's not a higher level. The higher level is to what? Is to know how to navigate it. When you're dealing with an Esav, when you're dealing with a Laban, like a Yaakov Avinu, he's an ish tam. Right? But he knows how to navigate. Now, so then why is he called an ish tam? Let's work on this for a minute. So part of the answer is, as we're going to see with Noach, sometimes Noach is called tamim. But as we're about to find out, when Hashem tells him it's time to build the Teva, and the Teva is going to have a lot of things on it, and it can be seen as very distracting, you can't be so tamim. You have to be a person of Chachma. But the truth is, how does Rashi... Do we have a full Chumash in here by any chance? How does Rashi... We got to get one. No, I need a full Chumash. We have a full... beautiful. What does Rashi say on Yaakov Ishtam? Parshas told us, Chaf Hei Chaf Zayin. V'hi Esav Ish Yodei Etzayid Ish Sada, V'Yaakov Ishtam Yoshev Olim. So Rashi says, he's an Ishtam, Eino Baki B'chol Eila. He wasn't a trickster like Esav. Ella kilibo kain piv. What he said, his mouth and his heart were aligned. Mi she'eino charif l'ramos koritam. A person who's not sharp to deceive, to trick, a person who's wholesome and innocent, is called tam. But as the Divrei Yecheskel, the Rebbe of Shinov, the son of the Divrei Chaim, points out, Divrei Yecheskel says, Ish Tam. He's not just called Tam, he's called an Ish Tam. What does it mean when it says that Hashem Ish Milchama? God is a man of war. Well, God's not a man at all. So, what does that mean? What is it when a person's called an Ish something? Hashem Ish Milchama. What does that mean? Give me a good translation for the word Ish in that context. Hashem is an Ish Milchama. A Baal Milchama, excellent. A master of war. A master. He's masterful. An Ish means, right? B'makom she'ein anashim, like it says in Pirkei Avos, hishtadol lios Ish. When people are not stepping up, be an Ish. Have a certain dominance. Hashem is a master of war. So what does it mean to be an Ish Tam? So Rashi says, Tam means a person who doesn't know how to trick. But Yaakov's not a Tam, says the Divrei Yecheskel. He's an Ish Tam. What does it mean he's an Ish Tam? That's what our Rebbe, the Mor v'Shemesh, is saying. yes, he's an Ishtam who doesn't know how to trick, but when you're dealing with an Esav, when you have to have encounters with people who you need to know how to navigate, Yaakov of course knew how to navigate that. So maybe, I was thinking, maybe that's the difference between Tam and Tamim. What does Tamim mean? Think about the word Tamim. It's like Tam, what is like a Yud Mem at the end of a word do or mean? Like plural, it pluralizes, right? Plurifies. I'm making up words. It makes something plural. Yeah? Some even explain that the word Shamayim is understood as Sham, as in like there, but like very there. Like there. Like very out there. I think of Hirsch. I'm sure Rav Paul Hirsch says that, I think. Right? So what does Tamim mean? It means like very, very, very wholesome. Like all the way wholesome. Yaakov is not Tamim. Because he's not one-dimensional. He's not always wholesome. Yaakov is Tam, which means what? And he's an Ishtam. He's a master of Tamimus. He knows when to use it and when not to use it. Okay? So says our Rebbe, again, there's two tracks when it comes to Madregos of Tzidkus. There's the Tzaddik who closets himself away from the world because he feels that the world is damaging to him and he can't be Makar of anyone. And then there's the Tzaddik who knows how to what? How to go out and to interact with others. And therefore, v'zepe rosh haksuvim. So now let's listen to what Hashem says to Noach. Ki kodem binyan hateva hayu b'chinas tamim. He says, Noach, you're a tamim. You're a tamim. You like to do your own thing. And you know what? That's been actually, for now, that's been sort of good for you, Noach, because you've been able to become a righteous person by not succumbing to the pressures of the world. Everyone else is corrupt, and you're a wholesome person. And that's really good. But now I need you to interact with the world to save the world. Now the truth is, and therefore Hashem is going to call him just a tzaddik, he's not going to call him a tamim. But the truth is, I think if we want to, again, our Rebbe's not going to say this exactly, was Noach successful or not successful? Not really successful. Who was he makariv onto his boat? No one?
The animals.
The animals and his family. Did he have one person, 120 years of Musar Shmuzin building his boat? Was he makariv one soul? And the answer is no. Because at the end of the day, even though Hashem tried to downplay his tamim, he wasn't Yaakov Avinu. He wasn't an Ishtam. He was tamim. Which means HaKadosh Baruch Hu encouraged him to try to interact with the world, but it wasn't really his specialty. And therefore he wasn't so successful in being Makariv people. We're not called B'nai Noach. We're called B'nai Yaakov. We're called B'nai Yisrael. Our job is to be people who know when to pull back from the world, when to be tamim, and when to go out and to be makari of the world. Noach, unfortunately, is not the perfect prototype. Okay? But let's see the words. So he says, Ki kodem binyan ha-teva ha-yi b'chinas tamim she'eni odeya l'ramos. Before Noach builds a teva, he's the nice, sweet, edel, tzaddik tamim that he is, who doesn't know how to deceive or trick or use creativity. D'hainu shahalach b'tmimis v'lo chibar atzma l'bnei dor l'karvam l'avodasa yisbarach shemo. He didn't know how to draw close to people. He wasn't connected to the generation. V'haloch b'hizbodidus b'fnei atzmo. He went on his own. Alkein nikra tamim she'eni odeya l'ramos l'karvam l'chachma. He didn't know how to bring people. He didn't have the language to be makariv people. Adnam acher kach she'amr lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But now that Hashem is saying to Noach, asei l'cha tevas v'chulo. Now that Hashem says, Noach, go out and build your boat. Via Oseg ben Binyan Ateva Kufchav Shanim. For 120 years he's busy building the boat. The Kavanas Hashem Yisbar Chaisa. Kadesha Yishalu Bnei Doro Mazos. And Noah was asked to build it for a long time in a public way, so people will say, what are you up to? V'yashiv lahem. And he would respond to them. Shakadosh Baruch Hu wrote to Lehevi Mabul La'olam. Ula Yasu Tshuva. Maybe you want to do Tshuva. The Mabul's coming. As Rashi explains. So nimtza mameila kol hakuf chav shana she'osak bebinyan hateva. So for those 120 years, hayatzarech la'asok im b'nei adam harbe. He needed to interact with a lot of people. Ula yachzirom l'mutav, to try to bring them back to the proper path. V'tzadik she'tzarech la'asok im b'nei adam rishayim mameila tzarech ischachmas gadol. So just like Yaakov had to step out of his tent to deal with an Esav in a creative way, to deal with a Lavan in a creative way. So Noach also had to go out to the world, and there was a world of Rishayim, And he needed what? He needed great wisdom in order to know how to navigate it. Ve'einu yachol leilich b'tmimas. If you're going to be too sweet and too edel, they're going to laugh at you. You need to have a little self-confidence. You need to have learn the language. You need to not feel that the world is dragging you down. Go out and lift the world up. Raksarach l'ischakim. You need a little more of that creativity and that wisdom. B'chadei shalo yibal blu asoh ha-resham me'avodasom. Be a tzaddik, but don't be such a tamim. Go be makar of the world. Build the boat that's going to save humanity. Kamo Yaakov im Esav alavon. Alkein achar binyan ateva nemar lo. So therefore, when it was time to talk about in the context of building the teva, Hashem says, ki oscha reisi tzaddik. I see you as a tzaddik, not a tamim, below nemar tamim. Ki oz bachar noach la'atzmo leilich mischakmus. Because he saw, noach at least was trying. Hashem says, good, I see you're trying to be a tzaddik, not a tamim. Again, he wasn't super successful. But at least he was understanding what the avodah called for. And he reached an even higher level than tmimus. He reached that level called tzidkus, which is even higher than tmimus. Okay? Tell me the pasuk, the very famous and important pasuk in Torah that talks about how we're supposed to live with tmimus. Not where Yaakov is described as a tam. Where does the Torah tell us to live with tmimus? Tam im tiyah im Hashem alokecha. So now, tell me, based on this pasuk, how do you read that? Based on this this Torah from the Mor V'Shemesh, tell me how to read that pasuk. How do you read that pasuk? Tell me how to read the pasuk. Say a pshat, based on what we just learned. It's not hard. Tamim tiyah m'Hashem Elokecha. Nu? What's it telling us? No? What did we just learn? Tamim means what? Tamim means I sit in my room and I don't interact with the world because I'm scared the world's going to drag me down. What's tzaddik? Tzaddik? Yosef became a tzaddik in Mitzrayim. Tzaddik means Yosef was a melech in Mitzrayim for 80 years. Tzaddik means you have to have creativity, you have to have wisdom, you have to go outside of your... No, so how do you read the pasuk? Tamim tiyah m'Hashem Elokecha means what? If you want to be tamim tiyah, right? That's only going to be with what?
With Hashem.
And with Hashem. Tmimus is with you and Hashem. Tamim tiyah im Hashem Elokecha. Right? If you want to be tamim, that's very good. If it's just about you and Hashem, but it's not. That's not enough. Yes, there's a time and a place for that. There's a time and a place for a Jew to go under his talis and be alone with Hashem. I would say maybe this is the difference between Chodesh Tishrei and Chodesh Mar Cheshvan. Even though there's a lot to talk about Tishrei in terms of being together with others, in terms of Klal Yisrael. Right? But Tishrei, we spend a lot of time, so to speak, wrapped in Hashem's arms. We're under our talis, so to speak, whether it's literally or metaphorically on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Ni'ilah, we're locked in with Hashem. Sukkah, we're wrapped in by Hashem. The month of Tishrei. Now, what happens in Cheshvan? Now we're back to life. We're back to regular life. What's the gematria of Tamim Tiyah? Tamim Tiyah. There's my whiteboard. That's the whiteboard? You're telling me that's the whiteboard? This is a wall. Okay, here. Regular. Tamim. How much is Tamim? Taf Mem Yud Mem is how much? 490. And Tiyah? 420. So what is it together? Tamim Tiyah is? 910. What's 910? 910 is Gematria Tishrei. Because the month of Tishrei, Tamim Tiyah, Hashem Elokecha. You want to be alone with Hashem? That's the Avodah of Tishrei. Rabosai, the Avodah of Mar Cheshvan is now a Jew, comes back from Beis HaMikdash. We're out of the Kodesh Kadashim. Rosh Hashanah is Gematria Beis HaMikdash. Yom Kippur obviously is Kodesh Kadashim. We sat mamish in Hashem's embrace in the sukkah, but now we have to come out to the world. So we need to learn what it means to be a tzaddik in the world. What does the pasuk say? Ein tzaddik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yechta. There's no tzaddik in the world who's always perfect and doesn't mess up. Going to the world is risky business. We understand. We were learning about it yesterday, right? Hashem tried to keep Adam in Gan Eden. Adam decides, I want to be Makar of the world. So it's not a joke. There's a time to be Tamim Tia Gematria Tishrei. There's a time to be wrapped up in Elokus, wrapped up alone with Hashem. But there's also a time and a place, and the Ikra Avoda, as we're learning here, the higher Madrega, is to be able to what? To be able to handle the world and to love Hashem's world and to be a kari of Hashem's world and to uplift Hashem's world. It's chashuv Torah, no? It's a very chashuv Torah. This is a mission statement for... Right. That's right. It's finding Hashem in the b'chol derechecha de'ayu. That's what Maariv Cheshvan's about. It's finding Hashem in the regular days. B'chol derechecha, in all of your ways, and all of your experiences. That's 100% right. Yeah. Well, the Ish Tam, again, has such mastery, like we said, Yaakov has such mastery over Tmimus that he knows when to how to also become a tzaddik. Right? You could say that's the pshat in the pasuk. Eile toldos Yaakov. Right? What comes from Yaakov? What's the next word? Eile toldos Yaakov. No? Yosef. Okay. What comes from Yaakov? What comes from Yaakov? Yosef. In other words, what does it mean Yosef comes from Yaakov? Based on what we just learned. Learn how to think a little deeper. What does that mean? Yosef comes from Yaakov. Yaakov had 12 children. What do you mean? Ela told us Yaakov. Yeshev Yaakov Eretz Megure Aviv Eretz Kanan. Ela told us Yaakov. Right? Yosef ben Shiva Esrei Shana, Hayiro Esachav Batzon, being a part of Vayeshev. But Eila told us Yaakov, Yosef, what comes from Yaakov? If you really know how to use Tmimus in the right way, then you'll also know how to what? What's Yosef? Yosef ha? Tzadik. You'll know how to transition from Tamim to Tzadik. So Noach didn't have that same mastery. He was trying. Kol hakavod to Noach for trying. And for his efforts alone, he did save the world. But he wasn't Makari of anyone. He wasn't able to be Makari of anyone. Right? Yeah.
Why, can you repeat again why Noah became a tzaddik when he was building the ark? He wasn't doing well.
His job. Yeah, but that was his job. His job was to, Hashem said, what I want you, why am I, he could have built the teva in 5 minutes. Hashem could have made it happen in a second. Hashem could have given him the boat. Why did Hashem give him 120 years to build the boat in public? Such a public spectacle. Because he wanted him, talk to people, tell them what you're doing. Maybe you can get them involved. Maybe we could stop the flood.
He didn't.
He wasn't successful. Because he didn't know how to properly... He didn't have the language. He didn't...
So then shouldn't
he not be a tzaddik? Yes. But he was trying. Again, maybe it was the fault of the generation. Maybe he did everything right and they just weren't ready to receive. But Hashem says, Ki oscho re'isi tzaddik lefanai... And maybe that word lefanai is part of the clue also. Right? You're tzaddik, but you're still lefanai. It's still just me and you. It's not getting out. The word's not getting out to the people. Right? You're still tamim tia im Hashem Elokecha. You're not able to bring it to the world. Im Hashem Elokecha. Yeah.
Is there any significance like number 120? Like, can we say, like,
I'm sure.
Hashem gave 120 years to Noah.
For sure. There's a lot to think about. I was thinking about it this morning. I'm not sure. I could say that. I'm sure there's other things you could say also. Okay, Azriel. Is Avram called Tzaddik? Right, is Avram called Tzaddik? Anyone? Does Hashem ever refer to the tzidkus? Okay, good question. Hashem says, I love Avram because he teaches his family and walks my way, but that is part of the Indian of tzaddik. But why? Okay, I'm not sure. I have to check the psukim more carefully and see what are the praises that are given to Avram. What would be an equivalent praise of tzaddik? Yeah.
What's the difference between each time that the time is
What's the difference between? Yeah. Well, the way I'm trying to explain it is that based on the Divrei Yecheskel, the Shin of a Rebbe said that Ish Tam means he has mastery of Tam. Which means Yaakov, even though the Pasuk Rashi says Yaakov is a Tam, he doesn't know how to do trickery. But he does. He takes a stand against Esav and Lavan. Tamim means like completely Tam. Not knowing when to turn it on and turn it off. Yaakov had mastery of it. He was completely in control of that midah. He knew when exactly to apply it and when not to apply it. And that's why when he has to fight, you know, strong with a Lavan or an Esav, he's ready to go. Noach is being coached, try to be a tzaddik, right? And he's trying, but he's not. He didn't have it. And maybe it's because he was too tamim. He wasn't an ishtam. Right? His tamima stopped him from really interacting with people all the way. That's what it sounds like. Okay, yeah, Seth. Ariel, what do you say?
I don't think so. I don't know. I don't know about specifically about Noach, but the Balatanya's view of Tzidkus is completely separate than these views of being a tzaddik.
Right. Yeah, I don't. I would agree with that statement.
Noach gets a lot.
I walked out of shul this morning and someone said to me, why is Rashi picking on Noach so much? Which is a good question. Like, meaning, the Torah says a lot of good things. He saved the world. There's a lot of room to be malamid tzchus, and yet Rashi's like catching him on every little misstep. Like, why do we even have why do we even go down that path? Again, it's not Rashi, it's Chazal. Why even start with that? I understand. You want to say Paro looks a little more innocent and Chazal beat him up. Bilam looks a little more innocent and Chazal, you know, beat him up and or Megala his Nekuda of Ra, of Rishus. But why do you have to start, like, if there's two ways to learn Noach, so just give him benefit of the doubt. Why are we picking on Noach? We don't do that with anyone else. Picking him apart. What do you have? You have a shot? I don't know. Maybe. Why get started with it at all? I mean, everyone, I could pick apart anyone. I can't. But I'm saying Chazal could also, or anyone. No, anyone could pick apart anyone. You could find the flaws of anyone and everyone. I mean, we could put together, write our own midrashim about Avram's failures and Yitzhak's failures and Yaakov's failures, but. We're not like so busy with that. We're very busy that way. With Noah. We're like very busy picking on him, yeah?
Could we say that it has to do with like the evil that was going on in the world at the time, meaning the entire generation was so bad that it could be that Chazal found it hard to ignore all the bad in the generation, even when it came to Noah?
But therefore we have to pick on Noach and say, you know, oh, he didn't go into the table till the last minute. Again, all the Svarma Kadoshim are Malamid Schus on all those Mamari Chazal. Noach didn't go into the table because he was still hoping that people would be Chozer B'tshuva and he stopped the Mabul and Mamin Ve'eno Mamin, right? The way that Tzadikim, again, read these Rashis, you could be Mahapech the whole thing. But the Pashup Shad is that Rashi and the Midrashim are really picking on Noach.
No,
I don't know. I want to think about it more. Like of all the tzaddikim, someone who's called the tzaddik tamim, and we're so busy pointing out he's not this and he's not that and he's, I don't know. All right, friends, let's go on. I want to get to another Torah. It wouldn't be fair. I was hoping to get to three, but we may get stuck with just two. But this is good conversation. All right, let's do the next piece. Go straight to the next piece. Od b'pasuk hanal. Another incredible Torah from our Rebbe. Yesh ledaktik, od bepasuk hanal. Just continuing where we are. It's. I don't know, do you have a paragraph break even?
No.
Yeah, right there. Patriot Zion, next paragraph. Od bepasuk hanal, it's a new idea. Od means we're starting something new. Od bepasuk hanal, but I'm commenting on the same pasuk. Yesh ledaktik al milas haya, shehu kemiyutar. Noach was a tzaddik. Eila told us Noach, Noach ish tzaddik tamim haya. He was a tzaddik. Tamim haya b'dorosav. What do you need the word haya for? Seems to be extra. Ohu b'dorosav haya lo lamar. You could have said that Noach was a tzaddik tamim. Who? Tamim who b'dorosav? Tamim haya? What's the haya? V'nir al pip shuto. So we could say the following pashup shot. Yineikir avodas Hashem shiatamim b'simcha. Right, as we've seen many times by our Rebbe, everything's the ikir. Right? We should get a paper on the wall and just like anytime he says this is the main thing, we should write it down. We should make a collection of all the more of Hashemish's ikarim. Right? The main thing, Rabosai, the main thing in avodas Hashem is to be b'simcha. Ki midas ha'atzvus mazik ma'od la'avodas habore. Because there's nothing that's as damaging to one's avodas Hashem as what? As sadness. That's what the famous teaching of Rav Aaron of Karlin, the Beis Aaron, some quoted in the shame of other tzaddikim, that there's nothing that's as damaging to one's avodas Hashem, it's not officially an avera, right? But there's nothing that's as damaging, there's nothing that destroys you as much as sadness. Some say a nusach, right? You, the mikvah, there's no... Most of the time, you don't have to go to the mikvah when people go to the mikvah. Right? But there's nothing as transformative for a person as mikvah. The Baal Shem Tov said he became the Baal Shem Tov because of his constant mikvah going. Even though you don't have to go to the mikvah, but there's nothing that will change you for the better like mikvah, even though it's not a mitzvah all the time. And being sad is not one of the 613 averos, not one of the 613 mitzvos. It's not on the books, per se, in an official way, but there's nothing as damaging for your avodas Hashem. As sadness and depression. There's nothing. There's nothing that stops a person from being a yid. Mitzvah gedayla lios besimcha tamid. We've actually been learning in shul after davening Shabbos morning. We're learning the Biyam Darkecha. We're learning the section on simcha. Started at Sukkot time. So there's a footnote. We just did a great story this past Shabbos. The Baal Shem Tov, he's talking about how sometimes we take on chumras and then it causes a lot of bilbulim, and we feel that nothing we do in avodas Hashem is good enough, and then we start taking on unnecessary stringencies, and then that makes us depressed in a different way. So in the footnote, he told this story, the Baal Shem Tov one time was lighting his pipe. So someone in the shir called out, oh, so you see the Baal Shem Tov smoked. So someone else called out, and Baal Shem Tov also davened in the Nesach Ashkenaz. So I said, a person shouldn't smoke. And someone else said, the person shouldn't daven the Sarash, It was good. We had a good laugh at the kiddush this week. So Baal Shem Tov one time was lighting his pipe. And he lit it from a candle that was made out of chalef. Right? Chalef. Remember? We saw that word. Gittin bezem abez. Chalef and shuman. Chalef is the hard, forbidden fats. Shuman is the permitted fats of an animal. So they would make a candle. You're not allowed to eat chalef, but you're allowed to make a candle out of it. So they made a candle. He had a candle, a wax candle, made out of these hardened fats. And the Baal Shem Tov lit his pipe. And then all of a sudden the Baal Shem Tov said, I don't know, maybe there's a chashash that smoking, and if you light a pipe with a chalef, you know, lantern, maybe there's a chashash isser in that. Again, I'm not sure exactly what. You're inhaling it, you're smoking it, I don't know. He all of a sudden he said, and it could be there were some shitas that you're not allowed to use it in that way. It popped in his head that maybe I did it there. And then he thought about it more, and he said, no, the halacha is that it's not a problem. The halacha, I'm not going to allow the yitzhar. He said, this is the yitzhar. The yitzhar is tricking me to make me feel bad that I did something that's questionably prohibited. The halacha said, no, it's not questionably prohibited. It's permitted. What I did is permitted. And from that point forward, here's the punchline of the story, the Baal Shem Tov always lit his pipe with a chalev lamp, or a chalev candle. To say to himself, I'm not going to make a chumrah that's shtus, that's going to make me depressed. That's going to make me feel like I'm not a good enough Jew. He dafka said, no, this is mutter, and I'm going to do it, and I'm not going to let the Yitzhar get into my head. That's very chashev. So the ikr of avodas Hashem is to be besimcha. Because sadness is terrible. It drags a person down. What does the Pasuk say about Mitzrayim? Vayemaru eschayehem. Vayemaru eschayehem. What did they do to us in Mitzrayim? So everyone says, oh, they made us work hard. That's true. They did make us work hard. They made our life terribly bitter with hard work. That's true. But it's an interesting way to describe it. They made our lives miserable and bitter. They caused us to be very depressed in Mitzrayim. And that's one of the final tikkunim. That's what we're working on in the world today. We're trying to be metakein. We're trying to be metakein the inyan of Mara Shchora, as the Svarim call it. They made our lives miserable. They made our lives totally bitter. Avodah kasha. So they made the avodah kasha, right? Avodah means avodah Hashem also. Avodah Hashem can be so schleppy, it can be so burdensome, it can be so. Right? And you could do all the mitzvahs, but you could do it like a sad person. Va'ayin b'sefer ha'yasher l'Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam in his ethical work Sefer Yashar, he describes gnus mida zo shel ha'atzmus. He speaks about how terrible it is for a person to be sad. The nature of a person who wants to serve Hashem in truth, let's be honest, every person who's a God-fearing Jew is trying to work on himself is a little bit down on himself, because we all know we can do a little bit better. So is there a place for like a healthy dose of sadness? And the way that tzaddikim explain it is there's a difference between sadness and shviras halev. Sadness and depression, usher, terrible, drags a person down. Shviras halev, brokenheartedness, in a way that inspires you to want to be bigger and better, is a gevaldik thing. It's a gevaldik thing. But you can't mix those two things up. And the litmus test is very simple. Does my brokenheartedness inspire me to want to try harder and do more? Or does it make me what? Want to do less? If I can't open my sitter, if I can't pick up my Gemara, if I can't open a sefer, if I can't feel Shabbos, that's called sadness and depression, and figure out how to get rid of it. But if you say, I miss shiur, and I'm a little broken over it, but in a way that makes me, tomorrow I'm going to be 10 minutes early to shiur. Oh, so that's shvira salev, that's cheshbon nefesh, that's healthy and good. So again, a person who's an Eved Hashem be'emes feels a little bit of this type of sadness. Shadom lo tamid shemamayit b'avodas Hashem. Al kein tzarech l'schazek atzmo neged midazo. So you have to be very careful, because it could be the Yitzhara sneaking in, telling you you're not good enough, and that could be very damaging. So you have to fight against that. Don't make a frumkite out of, no, I'm sad for a good reason, because I didn't daven like I should have this morning. Don't let that. Don't call that sadness. Don't let that manifest as sadness. Leos tamid b'simcha. So what can make a person really sad? If you're a really good Jew, and you're always steiging, and your ratzon is to bring Kvod Shemayim, and then what do you see? You see there are people around you who don't want it. That can be very disheartening. That can be so upsetting for a person. It's hard to smile when you know that what? That your younger brother's not going in the Derech HaTorah, or your cousin's not, is dating a non-Jewish girl, or your friend from high school doesn't keep Shabbos anymore. That should make you sad and depressed. That is upsetting. Or you see that the world is moving towards, you know, less and less awareness of God. Forget Judaism. Less and less awareness that there's even a creator. Right? The militant atheism of the world and the rejection of anything that's holy. Right? And you look at the world, you say the world has lost itself. It's so sad. That can be so depressing for a person. When you see people in your generation moving away from Yiddishkeit or moving away from ethical values. When humanity is like, ugh, what's going on with the world? That can be very depressing, very disheartening. A sensitive person is very saddened by that. And what happens, like Noach was facing, well, what? Noach was facing a generation, it wasn't that people were apathetic. They weren't so into it. Noach was living in a time period in history where people were beginning to wage war against God. That hurts. If you're a firm person who believes in Hashem, that should hurt you. That should really be painful for you. Azai bi Yoser hu netzav. So he was very hurt by that. right? Or could be very hurt by that. Vitzarach oz hischazkus yoser v'yoser la'avodas Hashem b'simcha. So you need to fight that much stronger to serve Hashem with joy, with confidence. Ki b'simcha teitzeyu v'shalom tuvalun, like the tzaddikim explained, with simcha you push things out. Sadness, you feel crushed. You feel stuck in your place. B'simcha teitzeyu v'shalom tuvalun. That's how you break out. You break out. You break through that darkness with simcha. So you don't fall into the vayimaru es chayehem, right? That bitterness of Mitzrayim that was holding them back. So now here's the punchline. Right? What do we know about Noach? Ish tzadik tamim haya bidorosav. What does that mean? Ratzalomer. Shemishabeach as a tzadik Noach. This is one of the great praises of Noach that we don't think about enough. The fact that Noach was even able to wake up in the morning and try to do anything, we were just pointing out, okay, he wasn't Makari people so well, blah, blah, blah. You know, we make all these tainas against Noach. The fact that Noach was from, despite everything going on around him, that he was able to what? To so to speak, keep what he kept, that itself is incredible. Shafilu bedorosav, that in such a world, he was living in a world of such hatred and animosity towards God. And Noach served Hashem with a smile. How do you see that in the word haya? What does it mean, haya bedorosav? V'zer nirmaz v'milas haya. Because the Medrash tells us the difference between vayehi and vihaya is that vayehi is always what? Or vayehi bimei really is always something scary and depressing. Vayehi, Chazal say, could go either way, but more often vayehi means something, you know, ominous, looming. But vahaya is a big simcha. Vahaya kisava ala aretz. Right? Parshas kisava. Vahaya, it'll be a great joy when you come to Eretz Yisrael. The simcha of a yid coming back to Eretz Yisrael. Like the Baruch Haim HaKadosh writes on that pasuk. Incredible joy of a yid in Eretz Yisrael. So vahaya is always something joyous. So therefore, what does it say? Noach was haya bidorosav. Despite the fact that the world was so broken, Noach said, I still have to serve Hashem b'simcha. And I think that's such a good lesson for us. Shekol makom shenemar vahaya hu lashon simcha v'kal lahaven. And therefore, again, another really, really important mission statement for us. If the world seems more and more broken from one week to the next, yet you can't let that take away your simcha. So stop checking Yeshiva World and Fox News and whatever. Stop reading about all the brokenness of the world and just serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'simcha. Find the good news stories that you can celebrate. Or just have the confidence. Put a smile on your face and know that Hashem is still running the world. Hashem is still the captain of the ship. Even when it looks like everything's totally chaotic. And that's how Noach was able to be a tzaddik and a tamim despite Dorosav. Haya, because he was b'simcha b'dorosav. Yeah. Great question. So in the Biyam Darkecha, in the section on Simcha, he asked this question: how is it realistic to be b'simcha tamid? Mitzvah gedola lios b'simcha tamid. He asks it as a question: is that even a, first of all, where's the source for that? Who says that that's how it's supposed to be? Maybe it's not realistic. Maybe it's not even a Jewish value. Who says you can be b'simcha? And how do you be b'simcha tamid? And he says, especially since we know from the Maharal that simcha is associated with shleimus. Simcha goes with shleimus, which is interesting because Noach was tamim, right? Tamim means shalem. Yaakov ishtam, he was a person who was shalem. So the example, one of the examples the Maharal gives, the Gemara says in Yevamis, that until a person's married, he doesn't have simcha. Why? Because you're only half a person. There's a lack of shleimus until a person's married. So the Gemara says, until you're married, you don't have simcha. So Maharal says, so what the Gemara is revealing to us is that simcha goes with shleimus. So in the Biyam Darkecha, right, he asks Dan Yosef's question, which is what? Which is, if the world is so not shalem, if the world is so imperfect, we don't have Mashiach, we don't have Beis HaMikdash, if the world is so imperfect, So how are we supposed to be happy? It's a great question. The answer is, attach yourself to something which is whole and perfect, and that's Hashem. The more you live with Hashem, the more you live with Hashem, the happier you'll be. Because Hashem is perfect. Attach yourself to Torah. Torah's Hashem, Tamima. Hashem's Torah is perfect. So if you attach yourself to God, which is perfect, you attach yourself to Torah, which is perfect, you attach yourself to Klal Yisrael, which as a people is perfect, so then, right, then you get out of the broken shards of humanity, and you feel a genuine sense of simcha. It's a very, very important yisod. Yeah.
I think it's really interesting that they're always playing both sides almost. Like the first piece is talking about don't be somebody who's like sheltered and hiding from the world. Right. And he's like, but like the world.
But don't
really
let the world stare your simcha. Like, right.
So it's kind of like being in the middle of that. So,
right.
You need to be like in a place where you're not putting yourself in a position where you're going to fail, but you also need to be like someone who's somewhat like worldly and can communicate with people and
you have to be, you have be to normal. Be.
Like Rav Weinberger like always talks about being normal. Just be normal. Be a normal person. And like I guess that means what it means to you. Like everybody for everybody it can be different.
Right.
Normal. But I think on a like larger scale, like it just means like be able to be somebody in the world.
You have to be able to do both. You have to be both. I'll just end. I'll tell. So Jack, you reminded me of a great vart in Pirkei Avos, one of my favorite varts in Pirkei Avos, from Rav Baruch of Mezhbush. It's a Kavaldik vart. It says in Pirkei Avos, it lists. I'm just pulling up the Mishnah. It lists different signs of not different signs, different miracles that took place in Beis Hamikdash. Right, what were some of the wondrous things that took place in the Beis Hamikdash? Anyone know? What?
Think like more people were able to fit than
right. Omdim tzufim, mishdachavim, ravachim. Right, the Aron took up no space. A lot of interesting things. Mamari Chazal that we find in Pirkei Avos, it lists a whole list of interesting things in the fifth parak. So here's what the Mishnah says. Ah, I get so much chizik from the Zvar. Asarin nisim nasu lavoseinu beBeis Hamikdash. Okay, 10 miracles happened to our ancestors in Beis Hamikdash. Right, the first one is Lohi Pila Isha Mireach Basar Kodesh. A woman never had a miscarriage from smelling the karbanos cooking there. Lohi Sviach Basar Kodesh Meolam, and the meat never spoiled, even though it's out in the hot Israeli sun. Beis Hamikdash never had a foul smell, and there was never a fly that was flying over the Beis Hamitbachayim, which I just understood now is an incredible teaching about Purim. Remind me, Purim time. Remind me to come back to this Mishnah. Wow, there's something big there. And the Kohen Gadol never became a Baal Keri on the night of Yom Kippur. A whole list of things. Rav Baruch of Mezhbush. Okay? Who's Rav Baruch of Mezhbush? Who's Rav Baruch of Mezhbush? Who's Rav Baruch of Mezhbush? What's his relationship to the Baal Shem Tov? The grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. What's his relationship to Rabbi Nachman of Breslov? Rav Baruch of Mezhbush was... His uncle. Okay? Who's his brother? Degel Machan Ephraim. So listen to what Rabbi Baruch Mezhbush said. Grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. Lo Hisriach Basar HaKodesh Meolam. The meat of the Beis Hamikdash was never Hisriach. It never became putrid. It never rotted. But he reads it like this. He says, you know, who's Basar HaKodesh? Not just a piece of carbon, not a slab of an animal in the Beis Hamikdash. Every one of us is Basar HaKodesh. V'lo Hisriach Basar HaKodesh Me'olam. A Yid, the flesh of a Jew, was never Hisriach, has never been damaged, has never been destroyed by the Olam. The world is not your enemy. If you're rooted in Beis Hamikdash, if you're attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what Beis Hamikdash was, a sense of being Lifnei Hashem. If a Jew lives with being Lifnei Hashem, Lo Hisriach Basar HaKodesh, a holy Jew will never be spoiled, will never be ruined, May Olam, from the world, by the world. Amazing. So that's Parakei Mishnei. So that's what, that's what Jack's saying. The more of a Shavuot is saying is you have to be in both. The tzaddik's court is the base of Mikdash in our times. For sure. It's where the Shekhinah resides. All right.